are wrapping up a series today, but I can tell you we are just getting started. And if you're worshiping with us for the first time, if you're new to Oak Hills Church, I want you to know you have found a church that serves a big God and has a big heart for serving other people. And you have made that apparent over this last month that we've been able to come together, both in person, online, around the world, come together and to love out loud. And we said at the beginning of this series, when it comes to love, it always begins with the people that are right around us. And so we want to be a people who love people where we live, work, learn, and play. So one of the first things that we said, our vision here is to be a community of disciples, engaging culture with the hope of Jesus, courageously engaging culture with the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. And so we challenged each other to just ask the Holy Spirit to prompt our hearts with just five people, just place five people on our hearts that we could just reach out to in whatever way the Spirit prompted you to do that. And it's been amazing to hear your stories come back in the way that you've done that. One person told me that their family came together and they made their list of their five. And so they had a neighbor on that list that they wanted to reach out to and found out that that neighbor was just recently going through a divorce and finding out that that neighbor really needed someone to love and support them during that time. Another person told me that they reached out to, they were going to reach out to a neighbor that was on their list, but before they could do that, the neighbor reached out to them to let them know that they were being admitted into hospice that week. What an opportunity that family had, because the Spirit had prompted and placed this neighbor on their heart to reach out in a time of great need, desperate need. Another lady shared a story. She was surprised at the response that she got. She said, I accepted the challenge, and there were three or four people on my heart, and so I decided just to send an encouraging text and a song, an encouraging song. She said, I was surprised at the range of response that I got, all the way from on one end of the spectrum, wow, I can't believe you thought about me. I can't believe you thought about me today. This is exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it, to the other end of the spectrum, almost antagonism. Sometimes when you ask the Holy Spirit to place people on your heart, you may wonder if he gave you the wrong list. But here's the thing. When you follow Jesus moment by moment, he's going to take you places you wouldn't normally go. And he will take you to people you would not normally go to. That's just the way Jesus is. But we love the people where we live, work, learn, and play. And sometimes we come together as a church to serve our community. We come together to meet needs that none of us could meet on our own, but together look out. I had a mom tell me a story about her 16-year-old son. He came to our OHC serve day a couple weeks ago, and he was so inspired that he left here and immediately called up some of his classmates, and they began planning a similar event at their school. Now, how cool is that? 16 years old, taking that on, being inspired in that way to do that. Now, here at Oak Hills Church, you need to know we don't really subscribe to the you're too old or you're too young, any of that. I mean, we basically figure, hey, if you're not dead, you're not done, right? That's basically the deal right there. Got a pulse. Because God has given us all a world-changing, life-changing, difference-making mission to be on with him, with each other, to be disciples that make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. I realize that these days when you say love your neighbor, it can almost sound a little trite. It can almost sound a little cliche, right? Like, love your neighbor. How many times have we heard love your neighbor? But we need to remember that when Jesus first came on the scene and he first said, love your neighbor, it was not a nice idea. It was a radical idea. It was countercultural. The people did not treat each other well, unless there was some reason socially or because of hierarchy or because of status. But Jesus comes on the scene and he says, love your neighbor. And he doesn't just say it, he lives it. And his disciples watch him live this love right in front of them, and it grabs their hearts. And they not only receive the teachings of Jesus and the doctrine of Jesus, but they begin to live it themselves as well. And then for the next few centuries, the church would grow rapidly. Why? Well, there are a few factors, but the primary reason was that they loved their neighbor. They lived out these teachings of Jesus. What they saw him do, they continued to do. They would love their neighbor. You see, it may sound cliche today, but this is what the church has always been about. It was the church that stayed in the cities in those early centuries, stayed in the cities when everyone else was fleeing to the countryside to escape calamity and plague. It was the churches that stayed. It was the Christians that stayed to care for the sick, to engage their neighbors. You see, they were the ones. They shifted entire social networks. You see, love was the church's greatest witness then, and it still is today. It still is today. Jesus, in one of his earliest messages to his disciples, he explains this to them. And I want to read to you a paraphrase of Matthew 5, Jesus' words to his disciples. I love how it puts this. "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage." And then he continues. Here's another way to put it. Just in case salt and garbage and all that confused you, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Jesus says, let me tell you why you're here. He's answering one of the big questions of life, right? Like, why am I here? Why are we here? Jesus says, I'll tell you why you're here. You're here to shine. Now, it's not your light. The Holy Spirit produces the light, but you do have the opportunity to let that light flow through you. And here's how you'll know. If that's happening, Matthew 5 says, people will see your good deeds, but it won't be you that they're praising. It'll be your Father in heaven. It'll be Jesus that they see. Jesus says, this is why you're here. To be salt, to be light. Sometimes we complicate this so much, but it's really not that complicated. Our job as Jesus followers is to simply follow him, to trust him, to obey him, to enjoy him. How often do you just enjoy Jesus, enjoy the presence of Jesus? You see, that's what Jesus is saying that we have been called to be in his presence, to be so salted by his presence that the people around us can't help but taste it. To be continuously illuminated, to walk in the light as he is in the light so much that people can't help but see it. I had a staff member tell me a story the other day. They went to lunch. And they had, towards the end of their meal, their 19, 20-year-old waitress walks up to the table and says, "Are you guys Christians?" They were a little taken aback by that. They said, "Well, yeah, actually, we are." And she said, "Well, I've been wondering about all that." And a conversation began. You see, people are hungry for salt and for light. Now, I'm not talking about man-made religion. I'm not talking about some manufactured hope. I'm talking about the fresh, daily, moment by moment presence of Jesus that brings deep meaning and deep purpose. Jesus says, I'm restoring the world, and I'm going to do it through you. If you'll let me, I'm making you the salt of the earth. I'm making you the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. I liked how that paraphrase said that. We're going public with this. Interestingly enough, Jesus, in one of his first messages to his disciples, he's telling them, I made you to make a difference. He didn't make us to just make some money or to make a name for ourselves. He made us to make a difference. Jesus says, you know that thing in you that craves meaning and craves purpose? Jesus says, yeah, I put that there to point you back to me. Because that's where you'll find true meaning. That's where you'll find true purpose in life. In John 15, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there. We're going to look at a passage in this. In John 15, Jesus tells his disciples, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And here's something I want us to really zero in on today. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I mean, think about that for just a moment. The one who knows us best loves us most and chose us first. It's a little bit counterintuitive, isn't it? I mean, a lot of times, if we're being honest with ourselves, what we think is, hey, if you really knew me, right? Like, if you really knew me, then you would love me less. Yet, the one who knows us best loves us most. Jesus says, I chose you. There wasn't a mistake made. There wasn't some mix-up in the paperwork. You didn't just barely get in. Jesus says, I with all my heart, on purpose, chose you. Jesus looked all over creation, and he saw you, and he chose you. He appointed you. He prepared you. For what? Well, this passage tells us for what. And we find it in two little words, so that. In fact, there's a couple times in this passage where it says so that. The first time it says this, it says, so that I chose you so that you might go and bear fruit. Friend, Jesus has chosen you to go and bear fruit. He has chosen you for outward mission. And if you are missing the mission, then you are missing your purpose in life. But then there's a second so that. And the second so that is this. I chose you so that whatever you ask in my name. Now, what does that mean? He's saying, when you are on mission with me, when your purpose in life is aligned with my purposes, when the way that you do things are for the same reasons the way that I do things, when those things start to line up, then you know that you, whatever you ask in my name, in other words, aligned with my purposes, aligned with the Father's glory, aligned with the restoration of this world, aligned with the rule and reign of my kingdom. When you're that aligned, you can ask whatever in my name, and the Father will give it to you. Wow. I mean, what a promise. I wonder how much more we would engage in prayer if we really understood that promise. And maybe you wonder if that promise is for you. If you ever wondered that, then I want you to remember Jesus chose you, the one who knows you best. He loves you most and chose you first. Sometimes we love those that God has placed in our lives, those where we live, work, learn, and play. Sometimes we come together as a church and we serve in ways that we could never serve on our own. And sometimes we serve our community, and sometimes we serve our world. And what happened here last weekend through you, Oak Hills Church, in person, online, around the world, it was truly remarkable. It was truly unbelievable. It was God-sized. As many of you stepped up to not only to receive the fact that you've been chosen by Jesus, but to step up and to sign up to be chosen by a child in Honduras. Now, some of you, maybe you weren't able to be with us last week, or maybe you held back, or maybe you've prayerfully been thinking about this. Maybe you're going, what in the world is he talking about right now? If that's you, I want you to watch this video and you'll get just a little bit of a taste for what you missed.
You allowed love and light to invade the darkness, and heaven came to earth. Sponsorship is such a beautiful program, but it has always been in the hands of the sponsor. The decision and the choice has always been in the sponsor choosing the child and said, no, we're going to put the choice into the hands of a child. This is what the gospel looks like. You put the motion of choice into the hands of a child. You lived out the power of the gospel of God as you put the empowerment and the choice into the hands of a child.
I can never forget those beautiful eyes going over right and left, looking for people they wanted as their friend. Chosen is truly amazing ministry.
Coming not as the one who's going to save them, but as the one who's going to learn from them and to serve them.
And my prayer is that your heart is stirred by God today to step into a relationship with a child, and that relationship changes everything.
I don't know if you've heard, but last weekend, 472 of you stepped up and signed up to step into the life of a child in Honduras. And since then, I was told just in between services, we've had another 29 sign up since then. And so it's continuing to happen. I got to tell you, I'm so incredibly proud of this church and the response that you had to this, to step up, to be chosen by these children in this Florida area program in Honduras. We have an amazing, amazing opportunity ahead of us, and I don't even believe we've begun to see what all God is going to do through this. Last weekend, as I had the opportunity to watch our Chosen Facebook, because what happens is when you sign up, you step up to be chosen, then your picture, if you so choose, your picture goes up on the Facebook, and I was watching your pictures over and over, and every time I saw a picture, I just thanked God for answered prayer, because every one of you representing a sponsored child, representing an answered prayer. What you represented was that aligning to God's mission and his love in the world, his mission in the world, and the Father giving us what we asked for. And 472 of you just last weekend stepped into that. We are now over 500 people who have decided to be chosen. One family sponsored 7 children last weekend, 1 for each grandchild. That's just amazing to me. And I got to tell you this, it's a little bit of a humble brag, I guess, but I'm just going to be transparent with you. After the service last weekend, I get a text from one of my kids. And they said, hey, I want you to take the money out of my account. I want to do this. To sponsor a child. I didn't even know the kid was watching the service. He's off at college. I don't even know what he's doing. But he's watching the service, and the Spirit gets a hold of his heart. And I'm just so thankful for that, because that has happened over and over and over and over. Not only was last weekend a major highlight, but you need to know that this past Wednesday in Honduras, they had a choosing party where all of these pictures went up and your pictures went up, and you put the power in the hands of these children to choose. Children who don't get to choose a lot, you gave them the opportunity to choose you. The transformation in this community is going to be significant. Let me tell you another reason why that is. We didn't talk about this last week, but there was a generous local Texan who stepped up through sponsorship, decided to give a very generous matching gift for child sponsorship through World Vision. So as a result, for every new sponsorship through Oak Hills Church this week in Honduras, an additional $250 was given to the area program in Honduras for World Vision's work. So let me do the quick math for you there. Even when we were at 489 sponsorships, that meant an additional $122,250 that's going to be going into this community to transform this community through clean water. Yeah. I'm telling you, God is on the move. We totally did not see that coming. It is amazing what he is doing to bring these resources together. But this is going to be for clean water, it's going to be for healthcare, and it's going to be for Christian discipleship. What's our mission here? We are disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. Through relationship, we are going to have the opportunity to disciple this community as well. So it's the transformation, we believe, is going to be deeply spiritual. I can only imagine the hope that you have placed in these parents' hands. I mean, can you imagine their child walks in and takes a picture with your picture? They got to choose. But can you imagine the hope that you have given these parents to know that their child now has a viable future? You did that. You placed that in their hands. That is the hope of Jesus. Now, the Eads family was chosen as well, alongside of you. So we had to wait and see who chose us this weekend, but I want to show you who chose us. Yeah, she's beautiful, right? Now, I don't mean to brag, but out of all the pictures, she chose us, you know. Yuna Isis is her name. I got a feeling she's probably going to become Yuna in our family. But she chose us. It's interesting. We have 3 boys, and then Annie is our little girl. She's the baby of the family, and she always wanted a baby sister, just begging us for a baby sister. Well, that wasn't going to happen. Unless the Holy Spirit did something miraculous, but that's only happened once that I know of, so. But now, she said last night, she said, well, now I've got a sister. You see, that's the point. As we said last week, there's no such thing as other people's children. Especially when you look at them the way that God does. See the world through the way God sees the world, the way he sees people. I found out she likes to jump rope. She likes mathematics. Annie likes mathematics. I am not good with math, but Annie is. So maybe they can connect over that. You place that hope in their hands. Thank you. And now, the moment many of you have all been waiting for, and that is you've waited all week in huge expectation to find out the child who chose you. So on your way out today, if you're here in person, when you go out through the lobby, before you head home, take some time with your family and find your way to the lobby. You'll find an envelope with your name on it. Inside that envelope, you're going to find a picture of the child who chose you. For those of you who are with our Oak Hills Church family online, World Vision has also created a way for you to be able to see the child who chose you today. If you haven't yet noticed in your inbox, in your email, you received an email at the address that you said yes to being chosen. At the email, you're going to find a digital reveal, a picture of the child holding your picture. Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I'm praying that somebody today, maybe you weren't with us last weekend, maybe you're catching up, maybe you held back, you've been prayerfully considering stepping up to be chosen. Whatever it may be, it's not too late for you to be able to join us, our OHC family, to join us to bless and to be blessed by this community in the Florida Area Program in Honduras. So whatever the reason might be, if you're thinking, I'd really like to connect with a child in Honduras as well, along with the rest of my church family, how do I do that? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. You can still be chosen with our OHC community we're partnering with in Honduras. The opportunity to be chosen in the Florida Area Program closes at 8 p.m. Central today. Okay, 8 p.m. Central Time today. And in 2 weeks, July 11th, you'll get a reveal email as well of the one who chose you. Then in about a month from today, you will get a welcome packet with a picture of the child holding your picture. So to jump in, here's what you need to do. Because friends, I gotta tell you, there are still children that are waiting to be sponsored. Still waiting. So you can text the keyword OHC to 56170, or if you're online with us, OHC online to 56170. If you're in person, you can go to the lobby and take an epic picture today with your family. Or if you're at home today, you can also just upload a selfie to that and then tag yourself in the Chosen Facebook group, and we'll be able to continue to see your pictures pop up there and continue to thank God for another answered prayer. Friends, love is and always will be the church's greatest witness. We're in a battle. And one day that battle will end. But until that day, we are going to continue to love those where we live, work, learn, and play. We're going to continue to come together as a church to serve and meet needs that none of us could meet on our own. And we are going to continue to serve our world. Now, typically what we would do with the Chosen initiative is we would take all the pictures that you upload and that you take in the lobby today, and we would have taken those pictures, jumped on a plane, and gone to Honduras for the choosing party. Because of travel restrictions, we weren't able to do that. But let me tell you this, we're already making plans to go, and as soon as those restrictions lessen, we're going to be there with them, building relationships, being disciples who make disciples. Jesus says, I chose you for this. I made you to make a difference. You see, love for us, it's not what we do. It's who we are. We are the church, and we're going to love out loud. We have an opportunity to tell the world that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe you've never received the love of Jesus. Maybe you never heard the fact that he chose you. Well, he did. And when you choose him, he places his spirit in you. When you choose to place your trust in him, to say, Jesus, I trust you for my salvation. I trust you for the forgiveness of my sins. I trust you for the calling on my life. In that moment, Jesus says, you're mine. I choose you. And maybe that's your first step today. And whatever your next step is, the Holy Spirit will guide you to it. Just simply ask, Holy Spirit, guide me. What do you want me to do next? You made me to make a difference, to love out loud. Right now, we are going to share in communion. And I hope you've had the opportunity to get your bread and your cup. Because in this moment, we celebrate the fact that God so loved the world that he gave. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the reason why we have hope today. And it's why we have anything to share with the world.